Eta Donin Ben Saramara. The Rambam says, Nevinasov, Vimotchil, Lebezin, Shoshlosho. Okay. That's all a lot of that. V'amrim lahem, Benin is there, Saramara. Nevinish, Ne Eden, Shagana, Mishalavi, V'kona, Bosu, Yayin, Dimash, Shaganav, V'ochal, Oso, Achilo, Amura, Acharasra. Yeah, by the way, the Rambam before calls it Achila Zuhamachu Eres in Alacha Beis. The Achila Zuhamachu Eres is the Yochal, the Yishta, Chutz Mirshasov, Bachabura, Shekulin, Rekonin, Upchusin, the Yochal Abosachai, the Enachai, Mavushal, the Enamavushal, Kiderach Shaganovim Ochlin, the Yishta Yain Mozu, Kiderach Shagagronim Shosin. Gargram is he gulps it down. Gargram. You shouldn't be, a person shouldn't be near a gargram. Yeah, so I wanted to say from this that you see, Tchuil Ramchul Achila Zuhamachu Eras. Achila Machu Eras. Again, Vachainim Gonav Mishalov Vachal Achila Machu Eras Kazu. So you see, it's an interesting thing. What is Machu Eres about it? I mean, Machu Eres is because it's not an Achila that has etiquette. Correct? I mean, that's what it is. If it was an Achila with etiquette, then it wouldn't be Machu Eres. Ketzer Achila, Ochal Achila Zuhar Machu Eres. Again, remember that several times. Achila Machu Eres. Yeah. So the thing is that it proves the Ramban Shita. Clearly. That a person could be a novel b'shus haTorah. It means there is nowhere in the Torah that asr is such an achila. There's nowhere in the Torah, not find one is in the Torah, to eat an achila with a chabura of reikonin, and with or to eat the basachai ve'enachai, or to be shosik a gargron. You wouldn't be over a single lav in the Torah. Not an asay, not a lav, nothing. And yet you see, this is defined as achila mechoras. And it's not just the Torah Shebal Peh, it's Torah Shebal Ksav also. But the Pasuk says, Zolel V'Sovet. Zolel V'Sovet. So you see clearly that something which the Torah despises, because here's a Lashon, Zolel V'Sovet, and means the Torah despises it, yet there is no Isra on it, basically. It's an interesting thing. I mean, except Ben Sarah, in this situation with Ben Sarah Mar, which has all kinds of conditions, it emerges into a Chiyav Misa. But that's only because of all the conditions. But the Achilas and Achila Mechuaris per se, the Achilas considered an Achila Mechuaris per se, and there's no issue whatsoever to eat like that. So you see the Torah, even though there are many things the Torah actually despises, the Torah does not asr it, there's no issue on it, because like the Ramban says, because the purpose of all the mitzvahs is really perfection. And the Torah cannot legislate perfection. But a person can be mekayim all the mitzvahs and not do any averis. And still, I mean, he thwarted the whole objective of Kol HaTorah Kulo. And he has basically no schar, no value. Has no value whatsoever. Because the only schar is insofar as it reaches perfection. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Somebody told me, they said, it wasn't an aver actually, but they were talking about something like buying a television. So it says that he mentions, when I'm doing something that's not right, he says it's an expression in Yiddish, as min es shen chazer, as ol es rinin von mile. That means if a person's eating chazer already, let it drip from your mouth. In other words, if you're doing it already, do it right. You see, that's exactly the opposite philosophy. And that's the philosophy of the check system. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not philosophy of perfection. It means it's a check system. So therefore, you're going to get a bad mark anyways. You might as well enjoy yourself. As if the whole good is to... Not that there's an ultimate good, but it's a it's an infantile reward system. You know what I mean? So you're going to lose the check anyways. You might as well enjoy yourself. as if like you're away from God anyway. Escape there, so you might as well go and have fun. that philosophy is really saying that the good is really the taivas. The taivas are the good. But the Nihadis is not exactly, it's exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. Yes. I mean, I would just add one thing. A philosophical point. And that is that I would say, the following. You could judge a person by his enjoyments. That if it's not possible to say that a perfected individual should have the same kind of enjoyments as a person who's a base individual. It's not possible. Because if that's the case, then they're both identical. If when it comes to the person's pleasures, they're both the same. So that means what they ultimately look for is exactly identical. So how could they really be any different? It's not possible. But that philosophy is under the assumption that really, in terms of taivas, we're all the same. It's just that I'm restraining myself, but now I'm going to lose my reward for that air. I might as well indulge. But a person whose taivas are, it's not possible to have two people. I mean, that have the same taivas, and that they should be considered one superior to the other. It's just not possible. I mean, just like the Rambam says that the enjoyment of a behemoth is not the same as the enjoyment of man, because the enjoyment of a behemoth is a simpler form of life and only has the instinctual, but man is more complex. So man's enjoyments have got to be different. He may think he's enjoying himself like a behemoth, but it's not that simple. Not that simple for man to enjoy himself altogether, but it's very complex. But the same thing is true within man, that the enjoyment of the lower man cannot be the same as the enjoyment of the great man. It's just not possible. And if the enjoyments are the same, the people are the same. It seems to me that has to be a hypothesis. That's basically Zolo Vesovet. Zolo Vesovet. That's the problem. Okay. Okay, that's the one thing that's interesting over here. See, over here, there's two things. The Pasuk says that has to be an achila mechuer. Now, let's say, for instance, a person is an individual of etiquette. He would not be able to be involved in this kid is based upon the ultimate goal of Yedias Hashem, of Kiruv Lamakan. So, and theirs is based on Gaiva. But you see, apparently, what the Torah holds is that even though that's the case, that their etiquette is false, but insofar as removing an individual from being a Benzer or Mura, that function itself. In other words, the destructive course, it doesn't mean because something is not correct, you see, is not correct, and may even be harmful, because the etiquette is based on Gaiva, and the Nazis had etiquette too. So you see, etiquette can increase a person's riches. So, but even though that's the case, but in the tzura of Ben Tzura Ramora, it nevertheless would remove him from that frame. Because every halacha has its own structure. And just because something is negative doesn't mean that it would not obstruct another negative. You follow what I mean? In other words, the Ben Tzura Ramora is a specific negative. It's a specific path, a specific course. It doesn't mean that another thing that's negative can't... Everything that obstructs it is not necessarily positive. That's not necessarily true. Everything that obstructs it doesn't have to be positive. It could be negative also, but it'll remove this negative, of course. You can't draw any conclusion. It's very bad, and the Torah is very bad. Better and worse is a very bad way to look at things. I mean, we don't have better. It's almost, the Torah almost does not do that. You don't say, and the same thing is greater and smaller. You don't say that. Things are different. There are different harmful paths. Which one's better or worse? I would say it would be like an illness. Which illness is better to have? One deteriorating illness or another? You know what the answer is? The answer depends on the degree of the illness. I would say that's probably the same thing over here. It depends on the degree of the disease of the soul. In other words, they're different destructive courses. Which one's worse? It depends on the degree. I mean, it depends on the degree, and it depends on, you know, a person could have a mild case of gaiva, okay? And a person have a a mild case of a zol v'save, it's very hard to say which one's worse. Any fee that takes away takes a person away from God is bad. Yeah, it's worse. The bottom line is he's not there. That's what. Well, it's not the thing that's intrinsically worse. What's worse is that he's removed from God. So to be removed from God doesn't really matter which way you were removed. As long as he's not there, that's what's bad. And, that's why it doesn't really, it's not important. You can't say which one's worse. See, which one's worse is not based on our kind of a system. Which one's worse is based on a moral, ethical, emotional system. Which one's worse? How do they decide which one's worse? Probably the one that they don't like the most. You know what I mean? But that's not the way our system works. Our system works in one way. There's Yedias Hashem, Kiyur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there's Rechok. Which method an individual takes in order to establish Rechok doesn't really matter in the long run. He's just not there. That's it. So you can't say which one's worse. It depends on a lot of different things. Depends on personality, situations. I mean, you can't really know. I mean, which one's worse. Which one's worse, you don't know. I mean, a person can have in this case, I would say, it's different than disease in the sense that disease, you get a simple answer, how serious it is, you know. But in the case of, in this case, it's more complex, because a human being is more complex, and a lot depends on situations. Like Chazal always said, if it wasn't for this thing, for this midah ra he had, he could have had all the mahabba, but this destroyed him. What it means is a lot of times, not necessarily, sometimes a person has a certain, and then a certain situation occurs, and that's it, finishes him off. You know what I mean? There are different ways for a person to be removed from the presence of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it doesn't really, you can't say which one's worse. Let me put it this way. That's the Rambam on one who's greater, the Kovash Yisro or the Osa Me'avo. I want you to understand something. The Osa Me'avo is a person who does it. What do you mean Osa Me'avo? What it means is, like the Rambam says, he does it because it's emes. The Rambam writes somewhere, I don't know where, one of his writings, I'll try to find it right now. I remember Rambam writes, he says, that people make a mistake, and he says they think that a person can be a chacham and yet be shakta from be a bal taiva. He says that is impossible, because if a guy is a chacham, he says the first thing a chacham knows is that all these taivas don't really give you any satisfaction. And that on the contrary, the reality is that the more a person is removed from taiva, the better off he is. So it's a matter of, like the Rambam says in the Hilchos Teshuva, a chachomim, a real chachomim know that this is false, and it's only the fool that really doesn't have the knowledge of it. So the osa me'ava is osa me'emes, like the Rambam says in the Hilchos Teshuva. What does it mean me'ava? It means osa dova machmasu emes, and that's it. He knows the truth. He doesn't have any struggle. There's no struggle. He knows exactly. He could see the taiva. He understands it. He knows how it relates to him. He knows what he's going to get out of it. He knows it's going to be worse with the taiva than without it. And there's no struggle. He's not attracted to it. I mean, he doesn't want it. That's the that's like I'll give you a mushroom. Even not from Chacham Yisrael. Albert Einstein wore one jacket, one pair of shoes. He said the problem of the jacket, he says, the coat could be solved very easily, he says, all you have to do is buy leather, because leather lasts many years, and this way you solve that problem for a long time. And he says, and the problem with the socks is you don't wear socks, because you always get holes in them, so therefore we can reduce that problem by eliminating socks and just wearing shoes. And he went through Cheshbon, and he said, this is all you need, and that's it. And that's the end of that area. See? that is the true chacham. It means that all the stuff is just not necessary. So we eliminate this. The person who's osa me'avah, the person who does it because he knows it's true. He knows that there's no to get involved in buying new things and things like that. Is a nonsensical pursuit. It takes a person away from thought, and it causes a person pain, because the intrinsic thing is that every taiva causes another taiva. So that's it. Stop that. That's the person also knows. But a person who has the desire, but he restrains himself. I assume what it means is he doesn't restrain himself momentarily, but I assume what it means is that he restrains himself. In the full sense of the word, which means, he said, I guess, I don't understand why really, this type is not good for me. Okay. My emotions tell me it's good. But I know that the Chachomim know that this is no good. And therefore, and the Torah says it's no good. And therefore, I'm not going to do it. That is the Kovash Yisitzra. The Kovash Yisitzra doesn't mean a guy that just has an emotional fit. And he just feels like a guilt thing. That's not Kovash Yisitzra. Because the Rambam writes Kovash Yisitzra about another. He says, the Kovash Yisitzra Bedaito. Bedaito means that's an intelligent thing. Not some luxurious, not a guy has a problem. He can't enjoy life. That's the Yashami says the Balmud. Person just has a guilt attack, that's a Balmud. But a person who's a chacham, he could either be in one of two ways. Either he knows the thing directly, or else he doesn't understand the proofs fully, but he knows that the chachamim say that this is so, and therefore he knows he's not going to really gain anything by getting the next title. So he doesn't understand it firsthand, but he knows that it has to be true, so therefore he says, it makes sense for me to limit my pleasures. Okay, I mean, that's a chazasa. Kaddish asma chavimotavach. That's ultimately the whole Derech HaChayim of Yadus. I mean, so the Kovash is Yitzro. That's the answer to your question. Your question is, is Kovash is Yitzro, isn't he the same? No, he's not the same. He is the same if he's sporadically Kovash is Yitzro. Yeah, then he's the same because he really wants to let loose. So he's just controlling himself. So then he has the same desire as the other guy. So what's between him and the other guy? But if he's a Kovash is Yitzro Bedaito, which means out of chachma, because he says, just a second, there's something wrong here. If this were really good, the chachma would approve it. And since they don't, they know that the Torah doesn't want to keep me away from something good. It must be, it's not good really. So therefore, he's Kovash Yisitzro, Bedaito. He says, look, I don't know the proof, but it can't be good. So therefore, he restrains them. That's the genuine concept of Kovash Yisitzra. That's the true concept of Kovash Yisitzra, not just self-control. What the world calls self-control is not what we... all the terms they use in morality and ethics have no shachas to us. They're totally different. It's a different system. So therefore, your question is only a question if you use the worldly concept of self-restraint. Then you're right. And it's true what you said. In the world, self-restraint is no different. There's no difference between a guy that has self-restraint or a guy that doesn't have self-restraint. Because the guy that has self-restraint, he wishes he can get rid of that self-restraint. So he would really like to have the title like the other guy. So there's no difference between him and the other guy, basically. You're right. It's just a temporary, for some reason, he's restraining himself. I don't know, he thinks it's some kind of he's going to gain something by that, whatever it is. But it's not because of a knowledge, not based on knowledge. But our system is based upon knowledge, either direct knowledge or secondary knowledge, one of the two. You don't know a Shiloh, so you go to Posek. You don't know, it's like the Rav himself said. The Rav said, well, I learned through a Sogeg, give my own self. I don't know the Sogeg, but learn Shach. So it's secondary knowledge. But that's a Derech of Chachma. That's a Derech of Torah. Same thing is true over here. There's no difference. Same exact thing. With the Kovei... Well, that's the difference. The difference between the Kovash and the non-Kovash is the Kovash has a struggle, and the non-Kovash doesn't have any struggle. Okay? Like I said, like Einstein didn't have to struggle with the desire to buy new clothes. There's no struggle. You're so stupid, and that's it. So there's no struggle. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. The reason why I mention Einstein is because I just want to show you that something is true, like the Rambam says, that the Chachomim know that it's true. It's not that the Torah asked it and it's really good. I mean, that's the big mistake. That's a childish notion which is unfortunately is given over to us when we learn, when we study in the school system and in the system that are extant today. These systems, that unfortunately, they give over that kind of an idea. And it becomes really something which becomes a part of it. Very hard to rip it out, you know. But when a person grows older, they have to revise their childhood experiences and ideas. I mean, if you don't do that, then you just remain a child. But that's basically what Yehudas teaches. And, if a person can't do this, I mean, then he's a fool, like the Rambam says. If a person can't do it, he's a fool. So you can't be a chacham. It's like I one time mentioned about a philosopher, like Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell is known as a big philosopher. He was not a philosopher, because Bertrand Russell said that he would give his whole life for 1 hour of romantic love. But the man's a fool. The man is a total fool. He has no business philosophizing. In mathematics, yeah, he's a great mathematician. No question about physics. Fine, wonderful. But philosophy demands that a person's emotions be in the right place. He can't start philosophizing about ethics when the guy's a shut off in the, when he's a shut off in Zeman and stupidity and nonsense. Because that area has got to be closed off then, because the emotions in that area have obviously overpowered him. So he can't judge that area. It's insane to say that a person like that is a philosopher. It's crazy. I mean, that's why, like the Rav one time mentioned, says everybody philosophizes Yahadis. He says, yeah, but we have certain credentials. You have to have certain credentials. The first credential is the guy has to be a Talmid Chacham. And if he's not, there's everything he says is worthless. It's like saying a guy is gonna write a book on colors when he's blind and never saw color in his life. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like the Rav is muffling. It's nonsensical. So a person who's overpowered by his taivas is going to give you a rational approach to Derech HaChayim. I mean, it's crazy. It's absurd. It can't be anything more absurd. It means his mind is compromised completely. The human mind is a very delicate element. It has a hard time functioning in general. And even when it does function, it functions with only certain mechanics that God made available to us, but which are not really the ultimate tools of knowledge. They give us insight. It's true, but when there's a pull of the emotions on the mind, forget it. Not a chance. It does not have a chance. Even when a person sechel yasha, it's hard to make a genuine discovery. But when the emotions are pulling on one side in that area, impossible. It's virtually impossible. No, just affect the area of ethics and the area of philosophical ethics and metaphysics and those areas. Not going to affect mathematics. He could be a great chess player. It's virtually not possible. That's why if you notice the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, when the Rambam is responding to someone or to some position, he always says that these people would remove themselves from their physical instinctual pleasures for one moment, he says, and they would realize that what they're saying is crazy. He says they think they're big chachamim, but they're shut off and taiva. I mean, it's the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. There's no way to say otherwise. I mean, it's just man's arrogance that a guy thinks because he's a big mathematician, he's also a big philosopher. It's very nice, but that's not the way it is. It has no basis in reality. Yeah. It's an interesting thing you mentioned, but there's an interesting Chazal. Chazal say, the famous Chazal, that God went around to all the different and various nations. And what was it? Based on the Pasuk of... Shem Yisini above Zechum Seilon. Okay, yeah. I don't know if it's literal. I don't know if it means literally. But what it means, basically, the idea to be derived from the Medrash is that people's lack of acceptance of Torah is not based upon the fact that they intellectually consider it to be wrong. That you're not going to find. The reason why people don't accept Torah is one is involved in Ritzicha, one involved in Gezel, one involved in Znus. I mean, that's basically what the Medrash is trying to tell you. That the rejection of Torah is not based on an intellectual, rational grounds. Based on something else. Based on the person's previous emotions, his emotional state with which he comes to the investigation. I mean, that's really in that Medrash. It's telling you that. That's the whole idea of Medrash. You're sure now. That's the thing. They were better because they had the Tzias Mitzrayim and they had a good Rebbe. Okay. That's why they were better. Tzias Mitzrayim and they had Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. I mean, that's why seven weeks from that's all Adiv Sphira. They were able to achieve that level of the Kabbalah Star. As long as the mind does not see it, the struggle is there. That's what I'm saying. That's it. Okay. But what the Rambam is showing is that there's no mile in the struggle. Struggle is a chsarn. Maybe more painful, but you don't get... that's not a case where you say from Tzair Agra. I think Rambam mentions a chazal over there, right? You don't say that over there. I'll just give you... I mean, while I'm on the topic, I'll just give you a simple proof of the fact that the person that is involved in taivas is on a far lower level. You know, just from a logical standpoint. You know, think about it. Okay, in everything that a person does, you see that the one that could do it with the least is always the best. Like, for instance, if I show a basketball player that could play basketball just as good as another guy without shoes, he's got to be a better player, right? Because when you put shoes on him, I mean, he's gonna have an advantage, right? In every area, though, in every area where an individual who could do a thing with less is always superior. I mean, Eratosthenes, who could figure out the circumference of the earth with just seeing two sticks, okay, 500 miles apart, I mean, is far superior to an individual who takes a look at his computer and figures out the circumference of the earth. I mean, there's no question. In every area, the less a person has and is capable of succeeding equally, he's got to be superior. Okay? Now, the same thing has to be true of the soul. So the soul that needs the least, has got to be the greatest. The soul that needs the most has got to be the worst. That's a rule that you can't deny. It. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And the world considers it exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. They say, who is the great man? The one that needs the mansion and the Rolls Royce and all these things. He is the one they look up to, but he is the most needy of men. So he has to be the most inferior. You see? Okay. And basically, it's a Maimon Chazal. What does he want to say? The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Barachanina ben Dosa, Kol ha'olam kulo nizum b'shvil Chanina b'ni. The whole world is supported because of Chanina b'ni. And the Chanina b'ni, Dailo b'kaf charuf me'erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. That's what it means. It means that for him, he needs the least. And he supports everybody else. That's the Chazal sense of it. Tov ma'at l'tzayik. That's the pasuk. Yeah, Tov ma'at, exactly. Tov ma'at l'tzayik. That's the pasuk. Rama calls that the pasuk, yeah. Tov ma'at l'tzayik. That's correct. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. So, it means it's Tov. Yeah. But that's really the whole thing. That goes back to the Zohar of the Sove. I mean, what's the Zohar of the Sove? It's the same thing. It means he's a shutoff in the Zohar of the Sove, the person that's... The shutoff in Tithen, the instinctual. I mean, that's what I mean. The whole Ashkaf is there. But the thing is, the proof of the Ramban is an amazing thing right from the Pasuk. In this Pasuk, amazing proof of the Ramban. I don't recall if the Ramban in Kedosha brings this Pasuk. I don't recall. Maybe he does. I don't remember. But there's a clear-cut proof for the Ramban that the Ramban, everybody, I mean, all the Rishonim, that the purpose of mitzvahs is not mitzvahs themselves. The mitzvah is a vehicle, a means for perfection. So the Torah can't legislate perfection. It's impossible to do. So the Torah gave, so Kodesh Baruch Hu gave man mitzvahs to guide him to perfection. But he can, if he wants to, look at the system as just a system of checks and balances and just follow that method of keeping Torah, and if he does, then he loses all the schar. So he has nothing. That's basically the possibility. Those two words, all of a sudden. The Ram says, whenever he comes across an area where it ties into a principle, so the Ram says, I immediately go concentrate on that principle because it's the yesodos are the most important thing. Why? Just as a matter, as an observer, I would say for the most part, people think they're enjoying themselves, but they're really not. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's impossible. But, and people, there are a lot of telltale signs, like for instance, relaxation. A person says they want to relax. Can you explain to me, please, what relaxing means? What does relaxing mean? Does relaxing mean that you're not involved in, you'll say it means not involved in something painful. Oh, is that the case? Then you're relaxing 8 hours a day when you're sleeping. I don't see people say relaxing 8 hours a day. I'm trying to increase my time of relaxation from 8 hours to 16 hours. People don't look at that as relaxation. So what exactly is it? I don't think people even know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a complete illusion. Very few people have any solid ideas on these things. They just purely follow their emotions. Just absolutely follow their emotions. And you hear somebody else say, this one says, The mother said, "Yeah, yeah, you gotta relax. You gotta relax because he needs something. He needs something, but this is not what he needs." And then you see the guy relaxing 5 minutes. He's looking for something to do. So what is it? And then he comes home. He had a terrible vacation because he didn't relax. He was too busy. The whole thing is you see, a chacham will see right away there's something wrong over here. Something detrimentally wrong. You know, it's not a matter of correcting. You know what I mean? It's not a matter like a guy, a person is an intelligent person. Sometimes he sees his car needs a little more air in the tires. But sometimes he sees the engine's gone. That's it. You know what I mean? You have to know what kind of a problem this is. Okay, I mean, without the whole in Yahadis, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. Relaxing doesn't make any sense. The greatest enjoyment is Talmud Torah and learning. And the moment a person stops learning, he stops enjoying himself. So where's the relaxing part? Where does that come in? That's if a person is in depression, he says. He says if a person is depressed, he says even a Navi should, you know, is supposed to take off and do things like enjoy nature to bring his spirits back. That's a different kind of, I don't think that's what people are saying. People are looking for a good time and they're calling it relaxation, but relaxation is the absence of something. So what kind of a good time is that? So the whole time doesn't make any sense. But I just want to, just using it to show you that the average person does not really have much of an idea. Any sound ideas in these areas, they just go by, if it's something which a person has to think, just go by my whim and I'm going to be successful. You know, just like in life people think. In life, there's no reason to examine life. No reason to investigate this life. Just go, if I had enough money, if I had enough this, I'd be able to enjoy myself endlessly. I mean, that's a total fool. This is one area, that was Socrates' argument. That every area needs chachma. But this area, people are convinced, no chachma there. Just leave me to my whims and I'll be fine. an environment that's more conducive to learning. That's the only... exactly. I mean, that's what it should be. That's what it has to be. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I can't envision a chacham enjoying himself without chachma. Just to make any sense. I mean, it would be stupid, because a person who is fortunate enough to have enjoyed chachma has really had something that most of humanity never experienced. And he's experienced a superior kind of an enjoyment. And this is incomparable. I mean, Plato's Raya is the most powerful Raya. He says you take individuals who are capable of different things, and you'll see what they'll do. Just from the people themselves it's true. He says, you see a person that has a chance of gaining honor, he'll give up money. So he's a guy that has the choice, right? He says, but what is a philosopher? A philosopher is the rare individual who has tasted the enjoyment of chachma. And you see, he gives up everything for that. So it must be superior. Who do you judge by? You judge by the guy that has the choice, not by the guy that didn't have the choice. It's a very good argument. What? Yeah, no. The thing is that's a different kind of chachma. We're talking about a mathematics or something else. And besides, I'm not so sure that Russell really enjoyed mathematics for mathematics' sake. Because you see that he says after he wrote his... He wrote his big thesis, he couldn't think of math for like a couple of years or something. He's exhausted. And he wrote it he said he has to, make his place in mathematics. That's not a guy who's doing mathematics, it's the guy who's doing making his place. That's a different thing. You have to be careful when you analyze, the world doesn't distinguish, doesn't make these fine distinctions. But these distinctions are crucial. I mean, they're crucial. That's what I'm saying. Guy's not a chacham. A guy who thinks he enjoys mathematics, what he really enjoys is the effects of mathematics. It's the fact that he made a place for himself in mathematics. That's not mathematics. Yeah. But the person who really, an individual, I don't have any doubt about it, that an individual that really enjoyed learning or thinking will never find anything as enjoyable. It's just not possible. There's a different quality to it, a different quality to it. I mean, I think I pointed out a lot of the reasons, logical reasons for it, but I'm just speaking now just factual. You will not be able to find anything comparable in terms of satisfaction and enjoyment of life. It just doesn't exist. I'm not saying, the only thing is that a lot of people have never experienced, most people, most of them, like I said, most of humanity, a vast majority of humanity has never experienced it. It is a crazy thing. I mean, I can't explain it. That makes it difficult, because it makes it difficult. The fact that people do not recognize this, what the enjoyment of Chachma is, makes it very difficult for the person that does, because it means that in his very doing, in very enjoyment of Chachma, he's bucking the whole world. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. That definitely has to encounter that. I mean, I've seen people give up because of that. I say, if that's true, why doesn't everybody do it? I mean, that's Avraham Avery. You have to have that quality. You have to be able to do that. That's a hard thing to do. And truth of the matter is, bucking the world is not like people think. Bucking the world, they think you have to go out and fight with everybody. That's easy. Bucking the world is, in your mind. That's the real, that's where the battle really takes place. In your mind it takes place, not with other people. Because nobody's really interested in you, really. It's not like there's 100,000 people gathering around you. They don't care what you do. But in your mind is where it takes place. That probably is the hardest element, hardest component. And it is an amazing thing. That the Torah is a parm v'ravim. It just keeps expanding and expanding. And you can't anticipate how far it's going to expand. I mean, you think you open up, if you open up an idea, an area, you start seeing the area starts channeling off. And it's an amazing thing. I mean, that's part of the reason why it's entrancing, because it keeps on going, I mean, beyond your expectations. It's an amazing thing. The tithers are just the opposite. They always fall short of the imaginative. Imagination is always the greatest, and they always fall short. But learning is exactly the opposite. It's an amazing thing. Yeah.